It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's November 23rd and 24th, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on Saturday, the 23rd, there is still time to attend the Granite State Baseball Dinner, which begins around 5 o'clock at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Manchester downtown. You can get tickets at the door or just go on nhfishercats.com and you can get tickets. And this year there's a huge flavor of Red Sox and Yankees who will be the guest celebrity attendees. Also, for my running friends, just a big shout out for participating in the 10-miler that was in Nashua last Saturday, a fun race, and then a fundraiser on Sunday in Manchester. Last Sunday, the Stash Dash, which raises money for prostate cancer awareness. Now, of course, Northeast Delta Dental, although known a lot for sponsoring a lot of road races, and that's one of my particular passions, we are an oral health company, and we've had several dentists who work with us at Northeast Delta Dental, ranging from our newest VP, Dr. Joe Arante, who was also the CEO of Previsor, which powers our famous health and wellness program. Before that, we've had Dr. Mitch Garay, we've had Dr. Rich Berriman, we've had Dr. Bob Urban. So needless to say, we have lots of dentists, obviously, in-house at Northeast Delta Dental. And one of them is Dr. Ron Davitt, who this weekend, the 23rd and 24th, we'll be talking about something called silver diamine fluoride. So, Ron, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here, and thank you for being on the Northeast Delta Dental team. So let's kind of start with this, just the basics. What is SDF, or silver diamine fluoride?
Well, it's a material that contains silver and fluoride. It's a clear, colorless liquid that is antimicrobial, and it is being used to actually arrest cavities.
And how does it stop cavities from happening? I mean, I know that in our work with trying to get the adult Medicaid dental benefit, that in the children's benefit, where there is a dental benefit in Medicaid, that they have been, a lot of dental sciences have sort of been promoting SDF. So how does it exactly work?
What we've found in dentistry, actually, it goes back to the 1800s. They found that silver disrupts, they didn't know it was a biofilm. Today we call it a biofilm, which is a bacteria mixed in with the plaque that are on the teeth. That actually causes cavities. And the silver combines with the part of the structure of the enamel called the hydroxyapatite, and it actually stops the biofilm, interrupts its activity, the bacterial activity, and arrests cavities.
Wow. And we know from statistics, for example, there was a study by the New Hampshire Oral Health data in 2015 that 35% of New Hampshire third graders have had a cavity, have been treated, and some go untreated. So obviously, even though in this day and age of fluoridated water and people understand the importance of oral health, for whatever reason, caries and dental disease continues on.
And it's a huge problem for young adults and elderly, and you'll see in that New Hampshire data that you cited on oral health, that they have estimated that a person that's 20 years old that has one or two cavities or more, they will spend more money on restoring teeth than a lifetime of preventive treatment.
Yeah, and as I like to say to my kids, I mean, I look at, you know, like I go to the dentist because of our health or wellness program, you know, like, you know, four times a year, and try to do my best with brushing and flossing in between. But obviously I have a mouthful of fillings and a couple of crowns, not violating HIPAA here because I'm self-reporting, but I've always told my four children, like they, what I call the dental progression, you know, a one surface filling becomes a two surface filling, becomes a three surface filling, becomes a crown, and then maybe even later on in life, that becomes, you know, a lost tooth, and then you're talking about an implant, et cetera, et cetera. So that, the best thing, the most obvious thing is, like you said, the spending money and taking care of your teeth on a preventative basis, which will actually save you a lot of aggravation and actually a lot of money, too.
Exactly, exactly.
So how is Silver Diamine Fluoride actually used? For example, are they brushed on the teeth that a dentist may be treating already? How does that whole thing work?
So what we do is we take this clear liquid, SDF, or silver diamine fluoride, and we paint it on affected areas. So if we have a child with a big cavity in a tooth, and we're trying to preserve that tooth until it comes out on its own, we can paint this on there, and it's painless. It goes on without any anesthetic, and it's done where we put this little drop, or we take a brush, put it in the drop of SDF, and paint it onto the tooth. And we wait about a minute to 2 minutes, and sometimes we put fluoride varnish over that, sometimes we don't. It's a very simple treatment.
And how did it happen that really folks that work with the Medicaid plans really, you know, pushed this initially before the commercial dental plan started covering it? Why do you think that is or was?
I think it's because it is very inexpensive to use, and it's also so simple to apply that Medicaid zeroed in on it. And then the commercial insurance companies have picked up because they realize how valuable this is to maybe prevent more expensive treatment in the future.
Now, I've heard some from some parents that they may be concerned about the aesthetics, and also, you know, has the FDA approved it? So are there, when I say the aesthetics, I mean the color, I mean, does that detract from a parent's willingness to allow SDF to be applied to their children's teeth? And talk about the FDA angle here.
Yes, so in 2014, the FDA did approve silver diamine fluoride for use in desensitizing teeth. And then in 2016, they approved it for arresting the cavities that we've been talking about. One of the drawbacks of SDF use is that when it's applied to a tooth, when there's a cavity present, or even if it's for desensitization, if there's any little micro porosity in that area of the tooth, it will turn black permanently. So in an aesthetic area, it's important that it's followed up after the SDF is applied to cover that area with a tooth-colored filling, or if it's an adult, with a crown. My experience at Tufts, where I teach, we use it on children, but we also use it on the elderly population. And they're not always concerned if it's way back in the mouth, and they can get more life out of a tooth. They're willing to put up with that back there. Not everybody, but many are willing to do that.
Great. That's good to hear. I think based on our preparation for this conversation today, you'd mentioned that this has been used in Europe for years and probably tested in Japan since the 60s. You know, tell us about that.
Yes. So in Europe, in many ways, they're ahead of us in preventive dentistry. And they've used this for many years with a lot of success. And in Japan, there was a whole lot of testing done in the 60s to prove that it is safe and it works. And we now in the U.S. are seeing the value and want to proceed ahead with it. One of the big things we see at Tufts is people with sensitive teeth. They just can't put anything on certain teeth. And this can be used to eliminate essentially the desensitive areas. It does have to be applied more than once. So if you're using it to desensitize a tooth, you would need it to be applied, say, twice a year.
Great. And I think historically, too, you mentioned that way back, even before, there were dental schools, the silver nitrate was actually used in the 1800s to stop the progression of cavities. So there must have been some knowledge, and, you know, fast forward, 200 years.
Yes, and we have noticed that back then they were using silver nitrate. The thing with the silver nitrate was it was seemed to stop cavities, but it didn't seem to prevent more cavities. And the silver diamine fluoride today does both.
Great.
And we notice at Tufts, too. You take a big filling out of a tooth, an old silver filling, it's black under there. But guess what? That silver that's in that amalgam filling has helped to arrest that cavity.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio on this November 23rd and 24th. And again, for those of you that want to raise money for CHAD, Children's Hospital at Dartmouth, there's the New Hampshire Baseball Dinner on Saturday, November 23rd. You can go on nhfishercats.com for tickets. And this year, the celebrity guests will be Red Sox and Yankees famous players, people like Bucky Dent, who hit the famous home run in 1978, and the relief pitcher Goose Gossage from the Yankees. And the Red Sox will have Wade Boggs, Louis Tiant, Rico Petrocelli, who is a really nice guy. We actually had Rico as one of our celebrity golfers at the Northeast Delta Dental Foundation tournament earlier this year. And Rico is a great guy, and he promised he would go to the Grand State Baseball Dinner, and here we are. And he is. And a big shout out also for my running friends for doing the 10 miler in Nashua last weekend. And coming up on Thanksgiving Day is the 5K at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, which is part of the Northeast Delta Dental Points Chase race series. So that'll be starting at 9 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, coming up at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. So with me is Dr. Ron. And Ron, you were telling us about the history that silver nitrate dates back to the 1800s. So obviously, with 200 years of history, it's proven to be work. Let's review again how often it is applied. And if you're a parent with a young child, whether you have regular group dental insurance through your employer or whether you have coverage through Medicaid, should I as a parent be asking any questions? And for example, how often will this be applied? And if it needs to be twice a year, does Medicaid cover it and things like that? So how does that interaction occur between the dentist and the parent?
So most times when it's applied to a child's teeth, it would be needed to be applied at least twice a year. It's not meant to be a permanent restoration. We typically will paint on the silver diamine fluoride, and when possible, we will follow it with a filling, but it doesn't always need to be followed. So if it's not going to be covered with a filling, then twice a year, even sometimes four times a year, and I believe it is covered.
Correct. Well, very good. Now, you've mentioned Tufts Dental School, and so in the spirit of transparency, we, Northeast Delta Dental, in collaboration with Tufts Dental School, we have set up an endowment scholarship fund, so third-year students who will be practicing in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont have applied for scholarship programs, because this is not for today's topic, but obviously you can imagine that a dental student comes out with a couple $100,000 or more in debt, student loans, and so we try to help them out with scholarships. So we have a long relationship with Tufts Dental School, including Dr. Ron teaches down there, and formerly Dr. Bob Urban taught down there. So you have a long history as a teacher and as a practitioner. Let's tell us the listening audience a little bit about your background.
I was a dentist in Newburyport, Massachusetts for 25 years. I practiced there. It was originally my father's practice. And then I, after 25 years, I began to teach at Tufts. I loved the teaching there, the interaction with the students and the faculty. It's just a lot of fun to watch young people being taught and learning how to be productive, efficient, and caring dentists.
Yeah, and we meet a lot of them when those that get the scholarships and others, and truly, so I don't worry about the noise coming out of Washington, D.C. I mean, I think our future is bright with the young students that I see, and then the ones that are graduating, and then particularly the ones that end up serving in underserved populations and clinics. It's really impressive to see. So, excellent. So now, of course, sometimes maybe there are times where the use of SDF is contraindicated. When would those situations be?
So as far as contraindications, we talked about the staining, which occurs on the teeth. And if it isn't an aesthetic area and you're not going to be covering that with a tooth-colored filling, it does turn that part of the tooth that's treated black, and that's a permanent stain. Also, on people that have a lot of sores, we call it stomatitis, there's sores or swelling in the mouth, we wouldn't want to use it in that case. And it does blacken the gums if it gets on the gums, but that's temporary. We call it an SDF tattoo. That only lasts like 2 weeks. So really, those are that and one other thing I should mention. If the cavity has affected the nerve of the tooth, then we recommend that SDF not be applied there, because generally, if it's affected the nerve, now we have an abscess, and we need to treat that differently.
Got it. Thank you for that helpful explanation. And so again, if as an adult, feel free to have, if SDF comes up in your conversations with your dentist, have a conversation. You can say you listened to Dr. Ron on November 23rd and 24th, and if you're a parent of young children and your dentist is recommending SDF, have the conversation. But I think Ron has indicated how effective it can be. And remember, and this the source is New Hampshire Oral Health data, 35% of New Hampshire third graders have a cavity of some sort And 90% of adults 20 years and older have had a cavity treated or untreated. And as I explain, and as Ron explained, the sort of progression of dental, I mean, you get a cavity, you get it filled, that becomes a one surface filling maybe, then a two surface, then a three surface, a crown, and then ultimately you may lose that tooth, and then you need an implant. And so that progression, you know, is real life. And that's why I've explained to my four children, you know, who grew up with fluoridated water, and obviously the position I had, I understood the importance of getting them to the dentist. You know, they don't have cavities, whereas, you know, I have a mouthful of fillings and crowns and do my best, but it's better. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Ron, if you had no cavities, right?
There's nothing better than the original enamel and dentin of your teeth. And if you can maintain that, you're so much better off as the years go by. I was treated myself for a lymphoma 8 years ago. My dad was a dentist. I had all my teeth. And that chemo that I went through, I got dry mouth and lost two teeth as a result. And so I know what it's like to lose teeth. And you can do so many things. Dental decay is preventable.
Yeah, and that's what, when I'm out on the community making speeches, I mean, fluoridated water, brush and floss in between visits, you know, and whether you go twice a year or four times a year. And let me just kind of explain that. The visiting dentist twice a year is a good proxy, a good benchmark, but that began like in the 50s and 60s when Pepsodent said, you know, see your dentist twice a year and use Pepsodent. That became kind of a pseudo benchmark for seeing your dentist twice a year, and that's how plan designs have come into being. And so most dental carriers, other than Northeast Delta Dental, you get two cleanings a year, two visits. What we know through dental science is some of us actually need to go four times a year, and so we have got this great program called Health Rural Wellness, which is powered by Previsor, which is a software company that we acquired. And so based on a series of questions that the hygienist will ask you, depending on your score. So, if, for example, my score is 3, and again, I'm self-reporting, you know, that entitles me to the additional cleanings, which I need. It's all based on science. So if you score 3, 4, or 5, you can get those additional services, including a dull fluoride varnish, which was Ron had alluded to. Mm-hmm. Also, and hopefully not, but if you're a smoker, we'll also pay for a tobacco cessation counseling and nutrition counseling. And so that's all built into Northeast Delta Dental's program. So, but even with all of that, as all my dentist friends say, if then the patient doesn't brush and floss in between visits, you can undo a lot of the great work, obviously, that the general dentist and specialists do. So, Ron, if you're willing, let's do what I call the lightning round, just a series of quick questions that right off the top of your head, you know, you'll know the answers to. So I get this question a lot, which is, what's better, manual brush or electric toothbrush? And sometimes the answer is whatever gets the patient to brush, I'll go with that. But what's your answer to that question?
I personally like the electric brush. I think that it removes more plaque. Like any toothbrush, you have to be careful how much pressure you put on that brush. But I think the electric.
Gotcha. Now you go into a supermarket or a drugstore these days, and you'll see dozens of different types of toothpaste. So what should the consumer be looking for in a toothpaste brand?
I like fluoridated toothpaste. For most patients, I would recommend a non-whitening toothpaste because there's a lot of abrasive in the whitening toothpaste and it can make your teeth sensitive.
Got it. So basically you go in, make sure there's fluoride in the ingredients and you're probably all set.
Exactly.
And then the final question, and given the time we have, do you think that there's a lot more collaborative cooperation between dentists and pediatricians and dentists and physicians in general? And how early should a mom or dad bring their infant into the dentist?
So I definitely feel there is a greater collaboration with physicians and dentists than there was when I graduated in the early 80s. And I think that's continuing to happen with the connection we see between oral health and overall physical health. And I would say with a child, to bring them in at about 6 months, you will have a very simple, what we call lap exam. Typically, the child is held by the mom or the dad and just a close look and just to try to get the child used to the dentist.
And so that's a great point because we have a program in collaboration with our medical partner in New Hampshire called Baby to the Dentist by One, because when we were growing up anyway, it was like, they used the rule of thumb of age 4, but now, as you say, you really should get that baby into the dentist when the first tooth erupts, or certainly, you know, by the end of their first birthday. So I noticed in my own granddaughter, who's 10 months, she has two little teeth popping. So we'll remind their mom and dad to get Havana into the dentist. So, Dr. Ron Davitt, thank you for being one on the Northeast Delta Dental team and educating us so precisely and comprehensively today on silver diamine fluoride. You've done a good service to the community. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Tom Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and happy Thanksgiving.